Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, you guys, we want to talk about nervous systems. And this should be a very interesting topic because the nervous system is insane to navigate. Literally insane to navigate. Not to discourage any of you, but it is. It actually plays such a crucial role to our everyday lives, our daily lives. And we kind of want to highlight what gets our nervous system on fire and why it really is a really big disturbance in our lives, because the nervous system is affecting everyone, especially if you have stress. And I know the majority of the world has stress today. And that is actually tied to our nervous systems just being on fire, which actually just adds more stress to our lives. And that is the last thing any of us want or need.
Man, I know something about this topic. It's so interesting because I recognize the effects that the nervous system has, but it seems to go beyond just the mental and emotional piece. Because for such a long time, when I thought about stress, I was like, oh, I'm mentally stressed and I can't think and blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't think I've fully taken into consideration over the years how much the stress affects the body, our health, and how it also affects the nervous system in a physical way. And that's been a lot to learn and navigate. And, you know, I recognize that some of the things I've been dealing with that are nervous system related have been physical, like to the point where I actually took myself to a cardiologist for testing because I was so concerned about some of the symptoms I was having. So I think it's really important when we're talking about the nervous system that we look at it from multiple angles. We're talking about the mental and emotional aspect and impact, but also the physical aspect and impact, because you may be having physical symptoms and not recognize that what you are experiencing is a nervous system in overwhelm.
What were some of your symptoms that made you feel like you had to go to a doctor? Because I feel like things going on with the nervous system will manifest in the physical, and no one knows what is going on. And I actually have a story to share about that too.
Yeah, it's like we don't recognize some of the ways that our nervous system can manifest in our health physically, because we just look at the symptoms and we're like, well, I need to treat these symptoms without realizing, well, hey, there's more going on here. Maybe it's tied to the nervous system disruption you are experiencing. So for me, it started back in like 2019 was when I first started to notice the symptoms. And this was just from being burnt out from bodybuilding, working full time, managing a household full time. It all just kind of combines to affect my body in a way that affected my hormones. So at that point in time, I ceased my menstruation and it never returned. I had other symptoms too, but more or less what I experienced was something akin to early menopause, right? Like my hormonal system just stopped. So that was like the first foray into physical stress symptoms, not fully even at the time recognizing that it was tied to my nervous system. But I did have a pretty scary set of occurrences that took place a couple of years ago. I want to say at this point, maybe 3.5 to 4 years ago, where I was having heart palpitations. Now, if you know anything about heart palpitations, it just kind of feels like your heart's fluttering, right? Like it kind of feels like it gets dysregulated, and then like you're just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, am I having like double heartbeats? Like, that's weird. So it was enough that I was like, let me go see a cardiologist just to make sure there's nothing weird going on. So when you do that, they give you like a device that you put on your body and it's like tracks your heart rate, and they do it for like a couple of days. You don't take it off. It just monitors all your heart rates and checks and looks for the palpitations. And I legitimately remember having this thing on and feeling them and being like, all right, so hopefully that thing picks up those flutters because I felt those. So the doctor will tell me something. I went to the doctor and he took it off and ran the test and was like, we don't see any heart palpitations. And I was like, there's no way you don't see any because I felt them. So what are you talking about? And then he said to me, well, there's a chance that what you're experiencing might be your nervous system or related to nerves. And I was just like, what? I didn't even know that could happen. So after that, I sort of recognized there is a lot more to this nervous system dysregulation and dysfunction than I think I fully understand. And to this day, I do still experience flutters. They haven't gone away, but what I do notice is that they become more prominent when I'm stressed. And it's always like the same thing on the same side, like slightly over here on this side, which interestingly enough is also where my vagus nerve has some issues. So there's a lot more to this than I think is really talked about and discussed. And vagus nerve disruption, I think, is very closely tied to nervous system disruption, especially if it's tied to stress. That's just my opinion.
Oh, no, I would agree with that. I have a bunch of friends who study massage therapy, and they often talk about the vagus nerve. You know, it's like when I'm going through something, that's usually actually where my friend who does massage therapy will point me first. She was just like, well, what's going on with your vagus nerve? And she was like, maybe you want to go get that looked at. I think that a lot of people don't really understand that so many of their physical symptoms or issues comes from an internal crazy nervous system or the vagus nerve or some type of, you're under a lot of stress. And people in 2025 are under a lot of stress, and it affects moods. I can't tell you how many people I have seen make TikTok posts about this being like, have you ever noticed that when you're out in society, something just feels and looks off amongst people? Like, you can see some people can carry stress well while others can't. Like, some people just wear their emotions on their sleeves. And if you're out in public and you can just physically see that, like, someone's agitated, or it's like we are creating a bunch of people that are almost walking, talking, ticking time bombs because they have so much internal stress that they don't have an outlet for it, or they really don't have the proper care that you need. And unfortunately, mental health is on a decline across the entire world. And it's because we don't prioritize mental health. And so if you don't have a proper outlet, if you do not have proper support, then what are you doing with all of that internal stress that you are just repressing, suppressing? Like, let's put it in a box, lock it up, and throw away the key. And because you're not dealing with it, that all builds up inside of you, and that eventually will lead to physical symptoms like you can get an autoimmune system from the amount of stress that you are carrying. And that's just because your body is on overwhelmed, it's on overload, and it has no outlet. And so all of that pent up tension and energy that you have inside of you, it has nowhere to go. And then it manifests in ways like anxiety. It manifests in ways of negative emotions, anger. And it's just interesting that people are coming out on social media and talking about this, being like, it's every time I leave my house, I just can feel, especially if you're an empath, it is really difficult to be an empath in 2025 because it's like you can feel people's anger and pain and stress. And if you are not an empath who knows how to like compartmentalize or differentiate what emotions are yours and what emotions are theirs, then it's a really difficult time to navigate right now. But I have seen people just come out and saying, like, I see it, people standing in line. It's like no one's smiling. It's like you walk into a store, no one wants to be there. No one's greeting you. No one's smiling. No one's like happy. It's just everyone's just like moody and stressed out and just doesn't even want to participate in today's society. And I think that it's really interesting hearing these people come out just being like, it honestly is unsettling for me to even leave my house, which is causing more reclusiveness and it's causing more loneliness and it's causing more people to be introverted. Now, if you're an extrovert, my heart goes out to you because it's really hard to be extroverted in 2025. But if you're an introvert, it's like people who are extroverted are slowly being turned into introverts. And you're outside of your own natural essence because of how society has shifted so much. Because unfortunately, we just don't have proper outlets.
We don't. And, you know, it's interesting. I had an outlet at the time when all these symptoms started. I carried a lot of restlessness, and my solution was to put that into bodybuilding. And I did, and it was fantastic, and I was always energized and ready to, like, go to work. The unfortunate thing is that I took it to an extreme, and it had an opposite effect on me when it came to my health. Now, there's something to be said about how an overwhelmed nervous system will make you want to self-isolate. Like, when my nervous system is overwhelmed, that's exactly how I feel. Like, I don't want to go do anything. I don't want to go interact. I just want to sit in my bubble and just let this fester, and maybe it won't drive me insane. Is that healthy? No. But for whatever reason, you kind of get into this self-preservation mode and you feel the need to protect yourself. And oftentimes that's through feeling like you need to isolate. Now, for me in particular, there are certain things that will set off my nervous system. And one of the things that has really done it to me is feeling getting caught in survival mode, where we know that the economy is very uncertain right now. A lot of people are having trouble finding work. I have struggled with finding work as well. And it just makes you feel very anxious. You feel unsettled and you feel unsafe. That often will set me off. And for me, it just feels, it kind of vacillates between extreme overwhelm, like emotional overwhelm, like I can't handle much more without losing my mind. Anxiety, like I'm in fight or flight mode and like I feel tense and anxious. And then sometimes there's a sense of doom and gloom, which for those of you who are familiar with that sensation, it's awful. It's very, very awful. Like that sense of impending doom at any time. It's a terrible thing to feel. I've seen people talk about, particularly on TikTok, about experiencing this and how like devastating it is. Because again, you don't feel safe. When your mind goes to impending doom, you think something bad's around the corner all the time, and that just makes you more stressed out. Now, I do admit that I haven't had the best and proper outlets. Since I stopped bodybuilding, I haven't really found a good outlet. And what I'm exploring is creative outlets. So things like writing and poetry, for example, which actually helps a lot. Like there's something to be said for creative outlets, whether that's painting or drawing, dancing, writing, all of that stuff is stuff you can channel that energy into. And it's actually very therapeutic. Like I did a little bit of poetry the other night, just like trying to take some of the sentiments I've been feeling and experiencing over the last couple months and just jot it down into paper. And it was so therapeutic. And I also noticed that when it comes to poetry, depending on the type of poet you are, you will often channel a lot of emotion into your writings. And I did that too. And it was very cathartic for me. So like little things like that are some things that can help. It's just, if you don't get on top of it, or on top of managing your nervous system and your stress, it's going to fester, just like Allie said, and it's going to eat you up alive, like from the inside out. And I'm also convinced that the people who are experiencing sudden autoimmune conditions and disorders, that it's a manifestation of what it looks like when your body eats itself, when the stress, like, you know, eats you alive. So that was just a thought I had when she was mentioning that.
Yeah, I would definitely say that it can manifest in autoimmune, because autoimmune, and there's just a lot of things happening, especially to younger generations. Like, I've been seeing that younger people, like even in their teens, are being diagnosed with cancer in 2025. And it's just like, we see these things that, I mean, your body is in the best condition during your youth. And it's just like, we're just, the shift that we are seeing when it comes to these diagnoses amongst young people, I'm just like, what? Like, this shouldn't be happening. Like, something is seriously off. Mm-hmm. And younger generations shouldn't be experiencing this much stress. Now, I will say something that I'm super fortunate for. I didn't really experience the level of stress that these young people are experiencing in 2025. Like, you know, this is why Tiara and I often say, like, our hearts go out to the Gen Zers, because it's like, when we were in our early 20s, we just focused on clubbing and drinking and you know, showing up to work hungover and getting through our day. That is what we cared about. It's like, you know, we had the peace of mind back then of knowing that our Roth IRAs would actually grow for our retirement, and that, you know, Social Security was still a thing back when we were in our early 20s. Now it's not. Now that we're, you know, in our 40s, we're just like, no, we're not going to see that. But back in our early 20s, it's like we had the peace of knowing, you know, we are part of the system, and we're going to get a Social Security check, and we have our Roth IRAs, and we have our 401ks, and we have our pensions. And so we just had different stresses and pressures. But it's like, ever since we've been seeing the rise of AI and the downfall of humanity, now everyone is just like, what do we do? Where do we go? Where's our next meal going to be? How do we keep this roof over our head? Like, how do we continue to survive? And like, because so many people are in survival mode, it has kicked all of our nervous systems into high gear, and people are panicking, and people are manic over this, because they're just like, every sense of peace we had in our early 20s is completely gone. And so now we're seeing this whole collective just be like, what do we do? What do we do? And here's the thing. It's like, in the spiritual sense, especially if you're an empath, you're taking on other people's emotions, thoughts, feelings. And it really, again, my heart goes out to the empath. I am an empath. And so, like, I know what that's like, because it's like, okay, I have my own stresses, but now I'm feeling all these people's other stresses. And it's just like, I have seen empaths really, really, really struggle. I don't struggle so much because I have boundaries, and I have been able to compartmentalize it and differentiate it. And I can distinguish what are my emotions and what are theirs, which has been super helpful. If any empaths, like, who come across this episode, like, reach out to me, like, we could have a conversation, love to work with you. Because it is super important, because empaths have an added pressure now, have an added layer of taking on other people's energy. And unfortunately, the energy in the collective as a whole, it's not pretty.
It's not at all pretty right now. And I don't know what it is about survival mode that just sets off everyone's nervous systems. And I, you know, initially when I was experiencing that, I was like, is this normal? Like, is this something other people experience? Is there something else I could be doing? Now, I will admit that my mind tends to spiral when my nervous system gets triggered, my mind tends to spiral. And that doesn't help, right? Like the spiraling just makes the nervous system disruption worse. So I've had to like find ways to kick myself out of the spiral or stop the spiral. And usually it's a mindset thing. Mind over matter when it comes to managing the nervous system, which I know is really, really hard when you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your bills. So, so difficult. So I completely understand that struggle. It's just, I think what makes it difficult is when your nervous system is disrupted like that and you're feeling the angst and the anxiety and the sense of doom and gloom. You might be experiencing things like, this is something that happens to me where I don't eat. I have stress-induced anorexia. So when I'm stressed, I don't eat properly, which makes things worse because when you can't eat, you don't have the energy to think and make proper decisions. And when you're in that space, you're not going to be able to make the right decisions or the proper decisions. So that's why it's really important to get a handle on it so that if you are the type of individual who is struggling with, what am I going to do to feed myself and my family? You can gain some of the clarity to really start thinking about what you can do. Because when you're in that stress state, like it's just your mind's not going to function properly. Like I've tried it. It never works. It just, I always end up making bad choices or bad decisions or doing something that I regret later from that state. So it's so incredibly essential that if you are suffering from nervous system disruption, that you find some type of way to step out of it, to rebalance yourself, because you're not going to be able to really resolve your circumstance or situations from that state, which was a really, really hard lesson for me.
She's actually still learning that lesson. And I've been there. I've made tons of horrible decisions when I'm stressed out. And Tiara called it emotional anorexia or whatever it's called. I just call it, I'm an emotional starver is what I call it. You know, it's like some people say I'm an emotional eater and I'm just like, yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm the emotional starver. But it really is a thing. And when you are an emotional starver, yeah, it's like you become lightheaded because your body is not properly fueled. And because you're so stressed out and you just want a resolution, you just usually all logic kind of leaves your mind and you're just like, whatever's easiest. I just want a resolution and whatever's easiest, I'm down for. And unfortunately, that has gotten both of us into a lot of trouble.
Absolutely has. To the point where like I've been stressed enough where I haven't eaten long enough to lose pounds and pounds of weight. And I don't really intend or mean to do that to myself. It's just a reaction to stress that I realize I've probably carried since bodybuilding. And I think that there's a link. You know, when you're a bodybuilder, you have to like count the calories and you got to make sure your macros are precise and every single day you're making your meals and so forth. And back then, if I felt like I was going over, or if I felt like, you know, I ate too much, I would stress about it. And I would emotionally starve because I was so stressed over it. And so I think that there's a little bit of that carrying over to me now when it comes to the way I don't eat when I'm stressed out. So when it comes to balancing the nervous system, I'm still trying to figure out what works, right? Like I've noticed a couple of things that do. Again, this is just for me, but I've noticed that like CBD, THC seems to help in the right specific strains and amounts. Now, everyone's going to be completely different. I'm not saying to go and do illicit drugs to solve all of your stress-induced issues. I'm just saying that when it comes to a therapeutic perspective, for me, CBD and THC has helped a lot, like at least enough for me to be able to relax a little bit and regain some of the proper thinking. I've also noticed that doing ayahuasca, because I've done it, I think, three or four times at this point, that
Three.
Yeah. The point at which I take the dosage to about maybe 2 weeks post, my nervous system is much, much better. And
she's like a totally different person.
Yeah, it's like night and day. So there's something to the medicine. Again, that's what works for me. That is really helpful. Mindfulness too. Now, I know a lot of people aren't crazy fans about meditation. I get it. I can't meditate very well for, I could maybe meditate for 30 minutes. After that, I'm bored or restless. So I get that. But you can mix it up. You don't have to just do sit there and in Indian style with your fingers crossed and like try to focus on, I don't know, what do people do when they're sitting like that? Focus on blankness in your mind.
Focus on nothing. Yeah, exactly. They focus on nothing. That's the whole point, is to just not think about anything.
Yeah, no, that's not working for me. So what I usually do is I will do like a guided meditation or something to focus on in the meditation. So I've done the ones where it's like, you're sitting with the mountain and you become part of the mountain and you take the mountain's strength and embody the mountain's resilience. Like stuff like that, that has really helped. Grounding also has helped a lot. Guided meditations. So things where you're not just sitting there in blankness that distract your mind from the stress, but also help relax you too. So those are two of the things that have helped me three of the things that helped me so far. I am still exploring different things. I actually considered doing, I'm not going to do this, but I did consider doing this, a study like that was doing MDMA induced therapeutics. So the way the study works is like you go and you get your MDMA and then you talk to a therapist afterwards and you do that for like a couple months to see if it helps you realign your thoughts and your thinking and stress, ease the stress. I was willing to go do this. It's just the logistics would have been really difficult. But there's something to be said about some of these substances when it comes to easing the nervous system. Again, I'm not trying to promote illicit substance use. I'm just saying that the therapeutic use of them can be very helpful if you're struggling so, so hard with the nervous system. Because for me personally, I struggle a lot with the nervous system, and it's taken a lot of mindfulness and it's taken a lot of substance of some sort to help me rebalance in some kind of way. And unfortunately, that's just a lot of that's because of the way my mind is wired. So I understand the struggle with that. You might just have to experiment and try different things. I did also have a therapist who helped people, particularly women, who were overachievers, balance out their mind so that it eases their stress. And she had different techniques that were pretty interesting, like this thing where you would take an object and then you would move the object from the left hemisphere to the right hemisphere and back and forth. And that silences the mind. I don't know how it silences the mind, but it works. Stuff like that, like little tricks that she taught me that I was like, oh my God, I need to incorporate this every day. So, you know, there are things you can do to balance the nervous system, but you just have to be creative. You have to find out what works. It's going to be a lot of experimentation. And it doesn't hurt to get like someone you can talk to, a therapist, counselor, or something along those lines to help you create better habits.
A few other ways. I totally get the meditation. I can't meditate for the life of me. I have to do a guided. I have to have something to focus on because my mind going blank, it just doesn't work. I float into either food or something in my schedule or something. And I'm just like, yeah, this doesn't work for me. It's not working. I quit. It's so boring. For those
it's
people
so
who
boring.
Love to meditate and can do it, like, yeah, hats off to you guys, because I cannot be that bored. I know a lot of people find peace in it too, which is awesome. I'm just like, I wish I could find that peace. Oops, excuse me. I wish I could find that peace. Like, my life would be so much easier if I could find that peace, but it's just not for me. But a couple of other things that are super helpful is breath work. If any of you are into breath work, definitely, definitely worth looking into. And something that I have liked to do, because I've had like a handful of sessions, I love to tap, like EFT tapping. And EFT tapping is really great because you can do it really, really discreetly. Like most people are used to like tapping up here or tapping the face or tapping here on the chest. But like my EFT practitioner has taught me how to like tap on the hands, like specific places on the hands, which is super helpful because you could just be sitting under the table tapping. And it's actually really, really beneficial. And she has taught me like more discreet ways, like tapping certain points of the fingers that you don't even have to show your hands. So you could be doing it under the table and no one would know. I've never done this, but I've also heard that people put their tongue on the top of their mouth just to like change the focal point. Which again, if you don't want to do something visible, or if you're really anxious in the moment, just put your tongue on the top of your mouth and just leave it there. And then that will give you like a focal point outside of letting your nervous system go crazy. Mm. So again, something about all these methods, it's not one size fits all, right? It's just, you have to find what works for you and everyone's going to be different. You know, it's like, I know people who love the sound healing, like going and listening to the singing bowls. Mm-hmm. Or something else that I've been super getting into, not that I do it myself, but I like listening to, is the hand pans. It's like the little drum and the hand pans. And that is really, really soothing. And I also really love listening to music, like not like worded music, but just like the people that like do the really like airy and breathy sounds, like, and frequency healing. I love frequency healing. I love just putting on nonverbal music like pianos or violins or cellos and just really zoning out into just the movement of the music. And so those are usually my go-tos. Also, another great one, if you want to move your body, yoga. I have never really been a yoga girl. I mean, I know a few poses, but I mean, yoga is also fantastic because yoga keeps your body, you know, obviously you have to position yourself. And so it requires a lot of mental attention. And so therefore it's like you're doing something and not letting you don't have time to focus on your nervous system freaking out because you're physically doing movement on top of focusing on your breath work. And so yoga is also another really super fantastic one. So it's like, you just have to find what works for you. And like, this is like one of the biggest irritants I have with all these healers, experts, coaches. They think, I don't know if they think, but they perceive or they allude to one size fits all. And that's never the case, which is like one of the things that really irritates me, because I'm just like, you're not going to mesh with everyone, and their program is not going to be for everyone, and their healing methods are not going to be for everyone. But they sell you on the illusion that it's like, yeah, come work with me. I'm going to transform your life. And yes, it will. And they absolutely will transform some people's lives, but it's not for everyone. Like, I can't tell you how many times, like, I have seen people choose all of these healers or coaches, mentors, psychiatrists, even. Psychiatrists, psychologists, like, I can't begin to tell you like how many people just go and, you know, it's like people will rave and like, obviously you'll hear a great experience of saying that they had a great experience with someone. And then you're just like, well, I want to sign up for it because I want to know what that feels like. And I want that too. And then you sign up for it and you're just like, I didn't have that same revelation, evolution, epiphany. And like, it's just one of those things that it's like, I cannot stress enough to you guys. It's like, not all one size fits all. It's like, you got to find what works for you, because every single method and everything that we suggest, you're going to get different things out of it, because it just depends on your own body's chemistry, where you are at in your healing, because everyone is not meant for everyone. It's like, we go through different stages of healing and our needs are going to change as we heal. And so it's like really important that you guys understand this, because all I'm essentially trying to do at the end of the day is save you time, energy, and money.
So we could speak all day about the different techniques and tactics you could try to use to balance your nervous system, but I've noticed that those tactics only go as far as the way you think, right? Like, you could do all that stuff all day long, but if you struggle with things like black or white thinking, or you are a very negative thinker, or you're very critical of yourself, and all your thinking patterns sort of steer into those things, you're going to struggle. You're going to continue to struggle with balancing your nervous system. And I've noticed that that's been the case for me, that like, I can do the breathing exercises and the yoga and the tinctures and stuff, and all those things help. But as long as my thinking is still so disjointed and negative and black and white, I'm still going to struggle with really getting a hold of the stress and really maintaining some type of balance when it comes to my nervous system. So that's why I had mentioned earlier that you're going to probably need to do some additional things. Like, yeah, these tactics and techniques and mindfulness is fantastic, but you got to do something about the negative thoughts and the patterns that you're carrying that are repeating in your mind and causing things like the spiraling and the excessive stress. Because I notice for me, like, a lot of times I'm doing it to myself, right? My thinking patterns and my beliefs are essentially what are making me have a more difficult time when it comes to balancing my nervous system. Because obviously you're going to have a hard time doing that if you're only thinking about controlling outcomes. You want to control the outcomes. Maybe you can't really control the outcomes to the degree that you want to, and then you're stressing over that. You've got the doom and gloom thinking going on. So you're thinking something bad's going to happen. What are you going to do to stop it? What can I do? Well, I can't anticipate that. And then just your mind just goes and goes and goes. And that is, as I've learned, so energetically draining. Like, I can't tell you how much energy I have put into thinking the worst and thinking all these negative outcomes. And like, oh my gosh, it's just so taxing. And I don't think we talk about this enough, about how the way we think takes so much energy away from other things that we could be doing. Like, I've noticed myself being exhausted and being like, I haven't even left the bed. Why am I so tired? Oh, it's because I've been expending all my energy in my brain. Like, that's a thing. And I had no idea of that until I came into that more recently. So yeah, there is a lot more to balancing your nervous system outside of what you can do externally, because part of the work also has to be done internally. And that takes time. It takes effort. So I do recommend like a dual approach, like the mindfulness piece of it, but then also working on the mental and the thought piece of it too.
The mental and the thought piece is actually more important than the external, in my humble opinion, because just being a spiritualist and understanding spirituality and understanding energy and understanding how our reality is literally a projection of our internal insides. If more people would just take the time to really understand that, it's like you have the power to manifest a totally and completely different reality if you just choose to work on yourself. And that is pretty much why we talk about healing a lot on this podcast, because I have absolutely changed my reality, and I've been doing it since I was a teenager. Because like, you just have to realize that you are the engineer of your own life. No one else is the engineer of your own life, not your parents, not your coworkers, not your bosses, not your significant others. And it's like, unfortunately, we've just been programmed to seek that external validation and to seek the needs of wanting to be wanted by others. And we put so much time and energy into how we are being perceived from the outside world that we lose track of our values, our value system, who we are as people, the things we want, especially women. Oh my God, we are literally hotwired to be the caretakers and always be thinking about others and putting others before our own needs. And unfortunately, it's a blessing and a curse of being a woman, but so many women just get lost in the process because we are just innately caregivers and we want to, you know, we want other people to be taken care of, but unfortunately, we neglect ourselves in the process. And it's just really important that, like, you guys understand that everything is energy. It's like, I'm pretty sure Nikola Tesla or Einstein said this. And it's like, if you really want to unlock the meaning of the universe, then you need to start thinking as everything is energy. And once you start thinking of everything as energy, then honestly, your perspective, your world, your reality will start to change, because you have to understand that, like, emotions are a frequency, thoughts are a frequency, words are a frequency. So if you're going to stay in the negatives and if you're going to stay in the lower emotions, the lower vibrations, then yeah, your reality is going to reflect that. And I mean, there's no more proof than all these people who unfortunately are choosing to stay stuck because people are afraid to think differently, critical think, self-educate, step out of their comfort zone, step out of their bubbles. And you have to understand that, like, you may sit there and just be like, oh, I want something different. I want something different. Sitting there and wanting something different is good and all, because you know what you want. But however, your nervous system is responding to that. Your nervous system is just like, okay, so if you want something different, go and do something different instead of sitting here stressing out about wanting something different. It's like all of that thought and all that energy that you're putting into wishing and willing and wanting, it's like your nervous system is responding to that because it's stress. You're putting added stress with your thoughts, with your words, with your emotion, and your nervous system is just like, okay, well, great. So we want all of these things, but we don't know how to get it. And that's just like, it kicks your nervous system into high gear. And you're just like, okay, well, it seems hopeless. It seems unattainable. It seems, and so now your nervous system is just like, okay, so we want something different. We want all these things, but now you're stuck in, how do I get it? How do I obtain it? How, like, what do I need to do to get what I want? And so many people, unfortunately, just don't have that courage to take the step forward to wanting something different. And it's like, if you look at AA, for example, not that I've ever been, but I know that the first step in AA is admitting that you have a problem. And once you can do that first step, once you can admit that you have a problem, then the real work can begin. But pretending that you don't have a problem or just avoiding it, it doesn't serve you. And we care about you serving you.
You know, Allie's been trying to hammer that into my head, that as long as you have a disrupted nervous system, you're not going to manifest anything. And you can use sheer force of will, which I've tried doing, to try to make stuff happen for you still. But again, as she mentioned, everything's energy. Thoughts are energy. Emotions are energy. So if you're thinking the worst all the time, you're probably going to attract that in your outward, in your physical life. Unfortunately, that's just how it works.
What has that looked like for you, Tiara?
Oh my gosh. I can't even begin. Like, it started when I first landed in Colombia earlier this year. Yeah, it started. Man. And now, a lot of times when we're carrying specific energies, we're doing it at a subconscious level. So you might not be consciously aware that you're setting yourself up for disaster. That was my case. Like, I didn't know that. I did know and recognize that I had issues with negative thoughts. I just didn't realize the complexity of it and the way it was really manifesting outwardly for me. So more or less, it's just been a lot of weird circumstances that have popped up that have made it difficult for me to get to where I want to be. So for example, my phone stopped working randomly for no reason. That made it difficult for me to do my work. That makes it difficult for me to earn a living. I've had really strange circumstances with jobs that have like seems like they were going to come through and then fallen through for some reason that I often don't understand. Just weird stuff or occurrences or happenings that have made it more difficult for me to get to where I want to be and to achieve what I'm trying to achieve or attain. And that can be very demoralizing. And for me, it has been very demoralizing. But what's really important to recognize is that you can do something about it. And oftentimes that's when you're demoralized, you don't think that there's anything you can do about it. You often just think, this is my life. I need to accept this, that I'll never get anywhere, because that's what a demoralized state does to you. But there's a piece of needing to work on your thinking, work on your beliefs. And oftentimes that does involve doing deeper work. So we're talking about you maybe perhaps needing to go into your subconscious, maybe needing to go into your childhood, maybe needing to do some inner child healing, because at the end of the day, all of that stuff from your past contributes to why you're thinking the way that you do now. So there is multiple pieces and components to it, but at the end of the day, as long as you're nervous system is in chaos, you're going to have a hard time manifesting anything or achieving and attaining anything. And it makes me so crazy that there are so many manifestation coaches out there that don't take this into consideration, that are just like affirmations. Do your affirmations every single day and you'll get to where you want to be. And I'm just like, it's so much more complex than that, because affirmations have never worked for me ever, ever. To this day, affirmations have never worked for me. And that just goes to show that it's so much more than just affirmations, at least for me and myself and the patterns and the beliefs that I was dealing with. As long as I had those there, you can affirm all day long that you want something different, but it's not going to manifest. So I wish I would see more of these coaches talking about this stuff, and they don't, of course, and it makes me crazy. But anyway, I just wanted to add that tidbit.
Tiara is a very, very good example. And, you know, unfortunately, there's just so many people in this space who don't actually really understand. And they think that they do, but they don't. And so they make these programs and they sell these services. And again, it's going to work for some people, which validates them that they are doing something right. And so that's also what keeps them going, which is great. If it does work for the people that it works for, then that's freaking fantastic. Like, it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about finding your energetic match for your needs at that time. It's just, again, I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone's craft, because, you know, some people are excellent at what they do. And some people, believe it or not, the whole fake it until you make it, it works for some of those people, right? It's like you're fake it until you make it. It's like you're shifting into a person that you believe that you are. And so therefore the universe responds to that. And so it's really interesting. Like, you know, I have seen people talk about why some of the most richest and most powerful people on this planet are complete and total narcissists, and how the universe doesn't actually reward kindness and, you know, and what's that word that I'm thinking of? Ethics. It doesn't reward ethical people. It doesn't reward the good deed people. It doesn't reward. It's just so interesting, that dynamic, because I feel like narcissists actually believe that they have the power, that they can do whatever they want, and they act as if they have the power and they can do whatever they want. And somehow the universe rewards that. And then it's like you have these good deed people with ethical people. And, you know, it's like the good deed people just more often than not are poor and they don't have a lot of money, but it's like they don't focus on that. Like their focus isn't power and control and money. Like their focus is like, I want to give back to the world. But if you actually look at their bank accounts versus like one of these narcissists that it's just like, you know, up here and it's like, I can do whatever you want and I have the money and I have all the money and I have all the power and I have all the resources. And it's like they actually do because they believe it. And they have worked towards it and they have manipulated and they greed. And it's just, I have always found that so interesting how people are like, have you ever noticed that the universe really doesn't typically reward the kind-hearted, ethical, good deeds people? And then it's like the people with all the money and the power just so happen to be, you know, the narcissists and the crazies and the lunatics. And it's really interesting because people often ask, well, how did those people get there? And I was like, because narcissists believe that they can do whatever the hell they want and the universe responds to that frequency.
It makes me so insane that that's the case. I get it, energetics, but it bothers me. Now, there is something to be said about the whole altruism and how people who want to help often don't earn as much as the psychopaths. And it kind of feeds on each other. So, you know, I worked in nonprofit for many, many years. And when you work at a nonprofit, you don't make a lot of money, right? It's nonprofit, right? So you're earning enough to get your job done. You might be struggling to survive because you're not earning that much. But it sort of reinforces beliefs in people that they're only worth that amount of money because they're trying to help people. And so it reinforces that as long as you want to help people and you want to do good, that's what this is worth. And I think that people embody that sometimes. And that's why you often may see people who want to do good in the world struggling financially because they've embodied this belief about themselves. And I embodied that same belief. And I know that there were other people that I worked with who did the same thing. So yeah, that is a real phenomenon. And unfortunately, again, it's just energetics. So as Ali was saying, the universe is responding to the energetics. If you believe that the work you're doing is only worth this much and that that type of work only has a specific value, then yeah, that's what's going to happen and that's what's going to manifest for you. So I just thought that was interesting that you mentioned that.
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. And it's like, that's what I'm saying. And you have to understand, a lot of these guys have used spiritual tactics. They have used numerology. They have used astrology. They have, like, I mean, Steve Jobs, perfect example. He, like, went to India and he was just, he learned numerology. He learned astrology and he launched Apple on the day that, you know, made it into a multi-billion dollar company. And so there's so much truth behind this. And the reason, and I swear to God, the reason why they suppress spiritualists is because they use this stuff. But of course, they make us look like the woo-woo crazies because they know that there is truth to it because they use it. And again, they do not want people catching on to the right path, understanding energy, because the more people who understand it, the harder it is going to be for them to control people. And, you know, it's like they lose their sense of power the more people that discover the truth, the more people who learn this stuff, the more people who really can change their lives using this stuff because they have used it too. And it's like rich people don't actually tell you how to get rich because they need us. They need the working class. They need their slaves. You know what I'm saying? And it's so crazy to me because, again, it's like I have actually studied Steve Jobs. And I think my dad read his book and then him and I had a full conversation about it. And I was about to read a 600-page book. So I, you know, hit Google and I did some research and we had a full conversation about it. And my dad was just like, he built Apple using numerology. And so I'm just saying, like, these guys, there's a reason why they call us woo-woo, crazy, you know, and it's just like, I understand it because they don't want the truth getting out. And it's just so crazy because all the answers are like all the answers to a lot of your problems is actually out there. It's just, I don't know why more you have to self-educate. I cannot emphasize enough self-education because there is so much truth behind what is happening. If you understand Chinese zodiac, if you understand your life path number, if you use your life path number to your advantage, if you understand your lucky number, if you understand all of these tactics that these people have used to build wealth, status, you know, these multi-billion dollar companies, and it's actually just wild to me.
It is, but it could be the key to lasting success. I mean, they've seemed to make it work for them some type of way. And we're talking numerology and things like astrology, and anyone can do that. So, you know, I've actually had an interest of getting like one of those full-blown astrology insights for like your entire life done. They're expensive. They're like $500 to $1,000. But could be worth doing if it means like putting you on the path to success for the rest of your life. Like, I'm open to that idea. But yeah, it drives me a little bit insane that the elites and those that be have this information and this knowledge that they're keeping to themselves at the expense of everyone else. And everyone else just kind of has to figure it out as they go along. And that has never sat well with me. I do think that information, for the most part, is accessible if you do the research. Now, they also do other stuff like occult practices, which is stuff I don't agree with. But hey, you know, if that's your bubble, like, I'm not here to judge. It's just, you know, to an extent, I get what they're doing and I agree with it. And I'm just like, yeah, I wish more people had access to that. But some of the other stuff, not so much. So pick your poison, you know.
Well, I think there's a certain level to reach. There's a certain level of success about, you know, like selling your soul a little bit or sacrificing others or, you know, yeah, the other really dark stuff that's happening. But you yeah. know, it's you can't get something for nothing.
That is very true. That is very true.
You can't get something for nothing, unfortunately, in this 3D existence on this planet. Unfortunately, it's all about trade. It's all about, well, you know, it's like celebrities have come out and talked about stuff like this, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, I think Kanye West said, like, I sacrificed my mom. And, you know, it's just, and then there's this whole theory, which I believe, about these celebrities sacrificing their own children. And, you know, it's just like, you can't get something from on Earth. That's just the way that this dark game is played. You can't get something for nothing.
Yeah, that could probably be its own whole episode, is some of the things, the occult practices that are starting to come out of Hollywood and the elites that they're using. Like, whew, guys, it goes much darker than that. And
yeah, I didn't want to get that dark.
Yeah.
Trying to keep it surface.
I respect that because it's just, you know, I remember learning just a little bit about some of the stuff that they're doing. And again, we're talking occult practices that involve very dark things, and just learning a little bit of the surface of it and being depressed for like 5 days. Like, that's how dark it is. And I think we're going to start to see some of this stuff come out gradually as the veil continues to thin and as the Epstein files start to leak out. I think we're going to get a bigger glimpse. And I've even seen people, I think maybe Ali, you sent me a couple of these on TikTok, of people saying, like, brace yourself, get ready to see some dark stuff come out the Epstein files. Make sure you take care of your mental health. Like, that's going to be a really huge thing.
Yeah, but then maybe it was me, but I have also said that, I mean, I think they're only going to show us what they want us to see. I don't think we're going to see the full extent. I don't think that there's going to be anything that revolutionary or crazy, things that we already don't know, because again, they are going to control what we see.
That's true. That's true. But what you probably will start to see is victims coming forward. And that has started to happen. a little
well
bit.
Yeah, we've already seen that, but you know, of course they're calling those women crazy, or you know, they're lying, or it's just, it's this battle, it's insane. I don't really understand the battle between truth and lies, and I understand that they have a lot to protect, which is why they do it, but at the same time it's just like, you can't fool everyone, and everyone knows that you can't fool everyone.
Oh yeah, a lot of people aren't stupid. Like, a lot of us know that there's dark stuff that they're doing. A lot of us know that there's, you know, trafficking going on. We know that. What we don't know is the extent of it and how deep it goes. And that's what I'm curious to know if we're going to see or not. So,
which I highly doubt, because someone did make a post and was like, I've been a huge advocate for seeing these, but then it also dawned on me that they're only going to show us what they want us to see. You know, so I hope you guys learn something about regulating your nervous system. And, you know, it's just, it's wild to navigate 2025. And unfortunately, I think 2026 is going to be way worse. Not to be a Debbie Downer. I just think that if people who are struggling now, I think 2026 is going to be a lot worse. So it's like, strap in, start self-educating yourself, start trying to figure out an exit plan if you can.
Yes. Yes. And for that reason alone, definitely protect your mental health, work on mindfulness. You're going to have to really make sure you're taking care of yourself mentally and emotionally going into 2026, you guys.
Absolutely. So I hope you all have a fantastic week. I'm sorry this wasn't one of the more upbeat episodes, but we do feel like it's important because, you know, Tiara and I, we definitely see the truth more clearly than most.
And I mean, I really only do because of Allie and her team for the most part.
Well, we appreciate you saying that. Yeah, so, I mean, if you guys want to know what kind of work I do, then just, you know, listen to what Tiara has to say, because these are a lot of the things that, like, I work on with my clients, and this is why clients seek me out, because although I might not be the easiest person to work with, I believe in exposing truth.
Mm. Yes. And if you're interested...
I mean, that's not always easy for everyone to hear, or you know, and I get that, you know, it's like most people want the more positive love and life, and it's like, I have no problem with love and light, but I do care a lot about truth.
Yeah, and that's valuable. So if you guys are interested, our contact information is on the website, which is www.goddessvibrationpodcast.com. And you can just click on it and send an email right away, and we'll get back to you when we can.
Everyone, have a fantastic week. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you, guys.